Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of July, recording at 9:13 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. We had the Asian stock markets. Well, they mostly eased a little bit following softness in China. More on that in a moment. India, though, and Nifty hit a new high for the year. So did, I believe, did the Philippines. Now, Europe had strong gains. And these started relatively early on, sort of gathered pace throughout the day. And we saw gains of between just under 2% to 3%. For the 3% gain was by Stockholm, Sweden, of course, which just stormed ahead. Now, a good day on Wall Street. We see gains in the order of 1.5% for the Dow and the S&P, and the NASDAQ composite up nearly 2%, and somewhat lesser gains for the Americas markets, but steady. And against that background, as you might expect, the long-dated government bond prices weakened, so yields nudged up a little bit. The U.S. dollar index was weak today, pretty much against, or the U.S. dollar was weak against most currencies. Now, a few of these deserve to be mentioned. The euro has had a good upward dynamic in here today. It's up to 127.20. Sterling rebounded. It's at 151.68. Now, the dollar had slipped against the yen, got down to 88.03, but is currently at 88.58. That's down just four little ticks. Now, elsewhere, the U.S. dollar slipped further against the Canadian dollar, back down to 1.0326. The industrial metals were all a bit firmer in here today, as were most soft commodities. And we had a strong gain in crude oil up to 77.23. Natural gas, however, one of the few exceptions in terms of a weaker performance, is currently down 25 cents. And precious metals had quite a reasonable day. Gold is currently at 12.12. That's up over $15. And the others were also quite steady: palladium, platinum, and silver. Okay. So, what's going on here generally? Well, first, I mentioned that I'd come back to China, which is down today. And the main reason for that is that Chinese officials came out and said that no way were they reversing the measures that they had used to rein in property speculation. And the market didn't like that. But I think only a fool would have thought they were about to reverse those measures. Might they stop tightening them? Yes, probably, because they're achieving the intended aim, but they're not going to reverse course and allow the property bubble to, having gotten it under control, to promptly reflate once again. So I wouldn't be surprised if the China stock market isn't higher tomorrow, and I think most of Asia will respond favorably to what we've seen on Wall Street here today. Now, a point that I've been making is that the depressed markets, Europe and the Wall Street, not least, also Japan, that they would rebound. I've been saying that they would perform, having way underperformed prior to this rally, which started early last week, that they would outperform during the rally on short covering. And we've certainly seen that. Now, one of the key points of interest, I think, for all of us is whether this is just a short covering rally. I said that if that was the case, that it would probably not last more than a week or two. Well, it's 7 market days and counting, counting so far. But I said for it to be a really important rally, in other words, if we saw an important low earlier this month for these markets, and that wouldn't surprise me, I'd give that just over a 50% possibility. But if that was the case, that stock markets would have to attract bargain hunting, and the rally would also have to attract some momentum players. Well, it may well be strong enough to attract momentum players. You're never more than a day away from a potential downward dynamic. I'm not forecasting that, but that would cap the rally for at least the short term, were we to see it. But let's deal with the positives here. The rally's been very strong, practically on consecutive days. That may well attract some momentum interest. Also, the bargain hunters have certainly had justification to come in. I did a bit of bargain hunting myself as the when markets are quite weak, buying a little bit too early, but those positions aren't looking bad today. Here, so I think the case for bargain hunting is certainly justified by quite attractive valuations. They're not spectacular valuations. Well, with the possible exception of China, they're getting fairly close to that. But for the other markets, they're just reasonably attractive valuations in the historic context, but they're outstanding relative to bonds, and that's important. So, again, I wouldn't be surprised to see more value buying returning to these markets right now. Okay. What's likely to happen next? Well, this rally has gone from short term oversold. This is using stochastics, which you can see in the chart library at any time you like, and I'll be posting a few of those charts this evening. So we've gone from short term extremely oversold condition against the background of just astonishingly bearish commentary, as I've mentioned daily, to short term overbought on the basis of those stochastics. Now, as you know, you can stay oversold on stochastics which are very short term or overbought for quite a long time. So that doesn't necessarily mean that the rally is going to halt here tomorrow. But the point I'm heading towards is that once this rally does boil over, we'll get an important indication of its durability. For instance, good news will be once this rally runs out of steam, if it's able to hold on to over half of its gains to date and counting, if it's able to hold on to over half of its gains and range and then move back up and extend the rally, that would signal loud and clearly that the demand was greater than the short selling pressure. And it will be interesting to see. I think the odds slightly favor the bulls, and this is, I've already said. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, If the stock market rallies in consecutive days, the bonds will ease on consecutive days. The bondholders are probably a little more long-term in their nature, although there will certainly be a number of momentum players and short-term people in that market as well. So the bond market just watched for a few days as the rally commenced last week, but is easing now, and I would expect that to continue. It'll take its cue from stock markets. Yields, meanwhile, are awfully low in that long-dated government bond market, unsustainably low. And while everybody's talking about deflation and saying there's no inflation, first, that's not true. I've mentioned it repeatedly that in the strong economies, inflation is a problem. It's not necessarily a chronic problem, although food inflation in India is certainly serious. My hunch and hope is that a strong monsoon will change that. But that won't happen immediately. So, yes, there is inflation around. The UK, in core inflation staying stubbornly around the 3% level. And the US government and the Federal Reserve is taking all sorts of risks in terms of long-term inflation. So this bond market is dangerous in here, and I think one needs to back off all this deflation depression talk here. A lot of that's coming from the people who have been shorting the stock market and running up the bonds. They're talking their book, to put it kindly. Okay. What about this US dollar? Well, it's not strong right now, and there's no reason why it should be strong. The dollar was a temporary haven, and once a little bit of confidence begins to return to the markets, people look at the dollar and say, "Well, what kind of a haven is this?" Well, it's not a very sound one. So that I think it's vulnerable. The U.S. also knows that it needs a softer dollar if it's going to get even remotely close to Obama's optimistic comments on, or optimistic targets, I should say, on exports. So I think we're back in a ranging environment for currencies for the most part, but we've gone from a firm dollar within that process to a softer dollar within that process, and that's the new normal. That's going to stick around, and the only way that's going to change will be if stock markets go down and take out their reaction lows that we had seen at the beginning of this month. Now, what about gold? Well, soft dollar, that's got to be propping up the dollar price of gold, but it's lost some of its other strong performance. In other words, up until about a month ago, gold was rising against everything, every currency, that is. It's not today, and it hasn't been for the last few weeks. But the softer dollar is certainly cushioning downside risk and increasing the potential for some upside in US dollar terms. But this is not a time when I would expect a big move in gold. My guess is that we'll see a little profit taking in the currencies against which it had run most strongly, such as the euro and sterling. And as we are seeing, and then gold will steady up again at some point, probably by the fourth quarter of this year. Crude oil, that had good action in here today, bullish action, as I mentioned. That's helped the energy sector. It is not so strong as to create a headwind, but this U.S. ban on offshore drilling is increasing interest in the oil market, and that's hardly surprising. And I've mentioned frequently that it has lifted the floor underneath crude oil prices. And that's what we're seeing. So we're going to go on ranging here, probably in the mid to upper 70s to mid to lower $80 range for a while. But then I think it will go higher on stronger growth than people are discounting at this particular moment. So, interesting, interesting overall. In my own personal portfolio, I bought a decent chunk of Royal Dutch Shell not long ago. I bought after it had seen a downward reaction, quite a significant downward reaction given the global stock market correction, and also the BP problems. And I was able to lock in a good yield of about 6.25% on that transaction. But then, the moment I'd bought the Shell, which had been falling gradually, it then surged downwards. And fortunately, it turned right around with the stock market rally and bounced back up and is currently in profit. But I mention this because sometimes, not always, I never assume that people are going to track my investments, but sometimes people do. And while I usually leak these things in advance, or I'll write about things, I'll post charts of things that I'm interested in, and I certainly did that with Shell before I bought it. But happiness for me is when something that I buy does not go up immediately after I buy it. And the fact that every single person who saw that I bought Shell and thought, well, they might have a little bit as well over the last week or so, had a chance to buy at a lower price than I bought it until today. And that pleases me. So, on that note, all the best. More tomorrow.